Lord, we thank you for feeding us with your body and your blood. May we ever turn to you to feed on you afresh, day by day. As we turn again to your word, we ask that it might be a lamp to our feet and a mark to our path. Lord, we know everything about your word is true. Help us to receive that truth today. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, we're into another year, aren't we? Have you noticed how time sometimes seems to go so rapidly, it just flashes past? And other times it seems to go very, very slowly, you know, like when you're listening to sermons. But there are two ways in which we notice the passage of time. You can sit in front of a clock and see it going round and the calendar flipping over. You can also monitor the passage of time by how well you're getting on in some sort of process. If you're listening to a sermon, you can take a surreptitious look at your watch from time to time to see if his half hour is nearly up, or you can wait for him to produce his third point and then you know it's nearly time to go home. You've got these two ways. There's the clock and there's working your way through a list of things. In the New Testament, there are two words to describe those two methods we have of noticing the passage of time. I was reading recently a biography of Henry Ford, a remarkable man, and he's perhaps best known for his development of the assembly line method of production, mass production. And he astonished the world by showing that he could make a motor car in just over an hour and a half. A brand new Model T Ford came off his production line every 93 minutes, which was an amazing achievement for the beginning of last century. Now, he achieved this by having in front of him a list of things that you needed to do to make a motor car. You could plan it all out. And he watched his men at work making the motor car and watching how they got on in relation to the clock going round. He brought these two methods of time assumption together. An astonishing achievement. What I believe God has for us this morning is to see that God has a definite plan for our lives. And he wants us to see how we're getting on with that plan in relation to the clock going round and the calendar flipping over. Let's just have a look at a passage of scripture. This is from Psalm 39. Show me, Lord, my life's end and the number of my days. Let me know how fleeting my life is. You have made my days a mere handbreadth. The span of my years is as nothing before you. Everyone is but a breath, even those who seem secure. Surely everyone goes around like a mere phantom. In vain they rush about, heaping up wealth without knowing whose it will finally be. But now, Lord, what do I look for? My hope is in you. Show me, Lord, my life's end and the number of my days. I don't think David was expecting God to produce an actual number, you know, 5,002 days and that's your lot. But I think he was expecting to see his lifespan as a stretched out. And we can do the same. We know the day we were born, don't we? We know today's date. Given a calculator, we could work out how many days we've lived. And short of any disasters today, there'd be a few more days to come in our life. But it will come to an end. And we're to see that this end, see that our life is a certain span of time. We began it then, this is today, and that's going to be the end. We don't know exactly when that is, but it is a definite span of time. And God wants us to see that he's got a plan for us over that span of time. And we need to look at how we're getting on with that plan in relation to that span. You know, Paul was probably executed, he was martyred when he was into his 60s. And when he was nearing the end, he wrote to a second letter to Timothy, and he said that he knew he was nearing the end, but looking back on his lifespan, he was able to say, I've fought the good fight, I've finished the race, I've kept the faith. Now he knew that there was a crown of righteousness waiting for him. What about us? When we see the span of our life, how do we see it passing by? Do we see that God has got a plan for us? I expect we think, well, certainly I understand God had a plan for Paul's life, that was obvious. But me? Can we believe that God has a plan for our lives? Well, that is actually true. Ephesians 2 says this, for we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus for good works which he has prepared in advance for us to do. Isn't that amazing? Isn't it awesome? When you look at our lifespan, believe that God has got definite works there planned in advance for us to do. He's got things for us to do throughout our lives. He's got a plan for us. Isn't that amazing? So how are we getting on with that plan in relation to the years flowing by? Perhaps we could look at another scripture. It's because of this fact that we need to take very careful use, very careful note of our use of time. This is from Ephesians chapter 5. Be very careful then how you live. Not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another with psalms and hymns and songs from the Spirit. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God our Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, there's material there for about 15 sermons. I just want to concentrate on those first three verses. Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise but as wise, making the most of every opportunity. The words literally there are redeeming the time. It's translated like that in the NIV because the word for time there is not the clock word, the clock and calendar word. It's the other word. How are we working our way through the list? Redeeming the time. Make the most of every opportunity to carry on down the list of things that God has got for us. He's planned out our lives for us. Let's make sure we're making the most of every opportunity to see what that plan is. And why? Why have we got to do this? Because the days are evil. How can days be evil? I think the thought is here that the devil is lurking around all the time to feed things into our mind which wastes our time. He'll feed worries and anxieties and fear for the future, wasting our time, paralysing us from doing what God has for us. And there are lots of other ways surround us which gobble up our time. Not necessarily evil things, but they still gobble up our time. in an average lifetime, we spend 6 months waiting at traffic lights, 8 months opening junk mail, 1 year looking for things we've lost, 2 years making telephone calls which don't get through, 5 years in queues, 6 years eating, and anything up to 20 years watching television. Isn't there scope there for redeeming the time? Okay, we have to stop at traffic lights. We have to queue up at the checkout at the supermarkets. But our minds can still be redeeming that time and thinking about something positive, can't they? We don't need to waste that time. I read a little while ago an article by a man who was suggesting different kinds of monetary systems that this country could adopt. I don't think he could have been entirely serious, but one of them rather amused me. He said, well, suppose we were all paid the same wages, and we got our wages at the beginning of every day, but on the understanding that at midnight on that day, everything that we hadn't spent was forfeit, went to the government. Well, it's quite amusing, isn't it? But he went through all the consequences of this. First of all, of course, if you knew you lost all your money at the end of the day, wouldn't we all be keen to spend everything we possibly could during that day? That would certainly get the economy moving, wouldn't it? That would get us out of recession quicker than anything David Cameron can suggest. So, okay. But we say, well, there are a whole load of things which mean that that couldn't possibly work, could it? Well, could it? Do you realise that this system is already in operation right here? Oh, not with money, no, but with time. God gives us each 1,440 minutes every day. If we don't use them, they're lost. They can't be. You can't hang on to them. You can't keep them and store them up. They're lost forever. So don't we need to think rather carefully about how we use all our minutes? Jonathan Edwards was a man who God greatly used in the spiritual revivals that took place in America in the 18th century. And he was a great man for making resolutions. And he was so keen on his resolutions and discipline that he would read through his resolutions every week to see how he was keeping them. They make very interesting reading. I won't bore you with them all, but one of them went like this. I am resolved never to lose one moment of time, but to improve it in the most profitable way I possibly can. Never to lose one moment of time. Goodness me. I wonder if our thought is, first of all, well, if I was like that, cool, I'd be worn to a frazzle in no time, wouldn't I? You finish one job, you mustn't let a minute go by before you get on to the next job. Goodness me, I'd be a nervous wreck in no time. No, that's not right. Remember the story of Mary and Martha? Martha was the one who was jigging around, anxious about things, getting things done, not losing a minute of time. And Mary was the one who was sitting with Jesus. And it was Mary that got Jesus' commendation. Jesus said to his disciples, come apart for a while and rest. Resting is so important that it's actually raised to the level of one of the commandments, isn't it? Keep holy the Sabbath day, in it you'll do no manner of work. We do need to have built-in rest into our lives. Programmed stillness, that's got to be there in our lives. And that can be so, even though we program our lives to do all the things that we believe God has for us. Programming in stillness and quietness is still very important. So if we decide to plan out our lives, we need to put in these planned periods of stillness. But But as we stand at the beginning of another year, God is placing before each one of us, short of any disaster, we're each going to be given over 500,000 minutes for this coming year. They'll be dished out to us day by day. They can't be held over, they can't be saved. They can only be used or lost. So what do we do? I wonder if we really grasp this point that God has actually a plan for our lives, that there are works which he has already planned in advance for us to do. I wonder if we really grasp that. We need to know what that plan is. How do we work that out? First of all, we need to see God's overall plan for our lives and then look at the details of how it's going to work out each day. We can see very easily what God's overall plan for our lives is. That's a fairly simple thing to do, because the position we are now in is the position that God has put us in for a purpose. If we look at the situation we are now in, where God has actually put us in this moment of time, we can say one or two things straight off. He wants us to fulfill faithfully our role as husband, wife, parent. Each one of these takes time, doesn't it? Our children need time spent with them. When they're very tiny, it seems a bit of a labour, doesn't it, to spend time with them, playing with on the carpet with them. I heard the story of a man who was a very important businessman. He was dealing with hundreds of thousands of pounds of his firm's money every day and used to bring work home with him every night. But he used to set aside a few minutes to sit with his daughter in her bedroom before she went to bed. And that little girl was so keen on the story of Goldilocks that she used to have him saying that story to her, reading out that story to her every night. And one night he started thinking to himself, look, I'm an important businessman. I've got desperately important decisions to make downstairs, and here I am reading Goldilocks. And he suddenly thought of an idea. He said to his daughter, look, I'll buy you a tape recorder and I will tape record Goldilocks on that for you. I'll show you how to use it and you can use it whenever you like. You can have the story of Goldilocks as often as you like, whenever you like. Instead of being delighted, her face sagged. And she said, but Daddy, I can't sit on the tape recorder's knee, can I? Well, those very precious moments with very young children very soon go, don't they? And we don't get them back again. But equally, they need our time later in life, as they go through school, as they go through adolescence, as they fall in love, as they deciding who to get married, the jobs to go to, starting families themselves. There's still precious moments that we have to spend with them. So we need to fulfill our role as parent, as husband and wife. And what about our role in this chapel here? We're not just an odd bunch of, well, we are an odd bunch of people, but we haven't arrived here at random. God has chosen each one of us to be part of this fellowship, and he's given us gifts to use in this fellowship so that we may be the body of Christ in this area. It's by no accident that we're here. So what's our role in this chapel? We need to each of us think of that, don't we? What are my talents? What are my gifts? What gifts has God given me? What gifts, spiritual gifts, will God give me for the role that he wants me to fulfill in this place? We need to think of our role in all of these various areas. And what about our secular work? Well, no work is secular for a Christian. How does he want me to witness in that particular place there? If we thought through all of these various things, we'd get an overall picture of God's plan for our lives in a very short time. But But there's more to it than that. We need to see, that would give us our overall picture. But what about day to day? How does God's plan unfold for us each day? You remember the man who came to Jesus and said to him, "Who is my neighbor?" And Jesus, in reply, gave us that lovely story of the Good Samaritan. What was Jesus actually saying in that parable? You see, that Samaritan wouldn't have known in advance that the man was, the wounded man was going to be there beside him. He wouldn't have known that in advance, but he responded to it as soon as he saw it. Now, the same will be true of us in our lives. We can plan out our days, doing all the things, fulfilling our roles in the various ways we've been thinking of, but we don't know in advance what things are going to, God is going to lay before us. And this is the bit I must say I find very difficult. I'm fairly adept at working out my plan for the day, and I work it all out. I'm going to do this, this, and this. And then something happens unexpectedly. I think, oh, goodness, yeah, that's wrecked my day. That's wrecked me, the plan that I worked out for my day. We shouldn't be thinking that way. God has allowed that thing to happen. If I come across a wounded man at the side of the road, okay, I hope I would go and help him. But I wouldn't have known in advance of that. Maybe that Samaritan had an important engagement in Jericho. Perhaps he had to, should be rushing there. But he didn't. He gave the time to that wounded man. We've got to be ready to respond to God's plan as it unfolds before us. So, I said the object of this morning was to see that God has a plan for our lives and to see how it is unfolding in relation to the time that's going by. Is God saying anything to us today about his plan for our lives? How would we know? In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. If we're acknowledging God in all these various ways, these roles that he's given to us, he will direct our paths. How? He will show us day by day how he wants us to go if we really wait on him for that. As I read those verses of scripture today, did you find in your spirit a resonance over something that was said, or some of the thoughts we've had about it? Was there a resonance in your spirit? That's how the Spirit sometimes speaks to us, by making the words of Scripture relevant to us. Has anything like that happened to us this morning? Because we need to respond to it if it has. Where does our heart really lie? What's the deepest desire of our heart as we see the span of our life in front of us and know that God has a plan for it? What's the deepest desire of our heart? Can you imagine at the end of that span, when we finally meet with Jesus and he says to us, "Well done, good and faithful servant." There could be no higher accolade that a Christian could want than that, is there? We can only achieve that if we are aware that we live each day in God's presence. We practice being aware of God's presence in our lives and the fact that his plan is unfolding before us each day. I'd like us just to spend a moment now just reflecting on some of these things and just asking God if he's got something that he wants us to understand this morning. See something more of his plan for our lives. Let's pray. Lord, we have pondered your word this morning, and we can see from it that our time is limited, and we would ask you, Lord, to show us the number of our days Let us understand how fleeting our life is. To see those span of years ahead of us that you have a plan for. Lord, we can see that our time is limited, it's passing, it's precious, it's also uncertain and it's easily lost. Will you help us to be wise in our use of it? And Lord, if you have spoken to any of us this morning, if the scriptures have resonated in our own hearts, help us to receive what your Spirit is saying to us, and help us to go from this place ready to respond in our knowledge that you have a plan for us and we want to work our way through it. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we don't know what lies ahead. Let's sing a song to remind us of that now.